morning, let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 442. 442. Sing hymn number 299. 299. Day by day. Thank you.
If you have your Bible, let's look together in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Do any of y'all remember that the whole chorus we used to sing years and years ago? His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Boy, I tell you what, I could sing the rest of it, but if I was a sewing machine, I wouldn't be a singer. All right, Romans 6, going to read down through verse 10. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Our blessed, blessed Lord, our great, glorious, infinite, eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Master, our Lord, our Savior. Oh God, our Father, we thank you. Oh, how we bless you. There's none like you. I know this world don't acknowledge you. I know religion doesn't acknowledge you. They've got you a helpless, poor, pitiful beggar. They've got you without no strength, no power, no ability. But oh God, we know that you got all power in heaven and earth. We know that you created this world just by your word. You just spoke it into existence. And Lord, it's going to stand fast until you, one day, in your sovereign will and purpose and power, burn this earth up and create a new heaven and a new earth where people who have the righteousness of Christ and his alone shall dwell in that new heaven and that new earth. We know, oh God, whatever anybody says about you, thinks about you, says about you, we know you're God, and there is none other. We know you're just God, and we know you're Savior. We know you're holy, and you're just. And you, in your wisdom and grace, through your Son, made a way to save sinners like ourselves and be just as you ever was and ever will be. And you did it through your blessed Son, bearing our sins in his own body on that tree. Oh, God, blessed be your name. Oh, what a glorious salvation you've given us. And Father, we thank you. We said this morning, I was like David. I was glad when they said, let us go on to the house of the Lord. And Lord, it's a good thing. It's a blessed thing to be able to meet here this morning, to gather around the Word of God, to gather around Christ, sit at His feet and learn of Him. Enjoy the worship, enjoy the gospel. And Lord, please bring glory to Yourself. Bless the saints of God that they've gathered out. Save Your people in this place. And do it for the glory and honor of Christ. We ask in His blessed name. Amen and amen.
Hymn number 125. Sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin to the tune of Amazing Grace. Thank you. be seated.
Now I want you to look with me in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, continuing our messages through Mark. I'll read verse 7 and 8. Mark chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. And preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now he's talking about John the Baptist. You remember we started out in verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then about John is his message. And that voice. And now we're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord's forerunner came in the spirit and power of Elijah. I'll show you that in a little bit. And it says here, you know, in verse 6, that he was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loin, he did eat locust and wild honey. Now, that may have been the way Elijah dressed. I don't know. But anyway, John the Baptist, he dressed in camel's hair. He didn't care about how people looked at him and how he dressed and how the world thought about him and the opinion they had of him. He didn't think about those things at all. And he ate locusts. Now, I looked that up. Some say it's a certain kind of a flower. Not F-L-O-U-R, but F-L-O-W-E-R, flower. But anyway, it's some kind of a flower. But it also says there was an insect that they ate. And they would cook those insects, and those insects would taste like shrimp, is what it said. I looked it up in the Bible dictionary, and that's what it said. It said it tastes like shrimp. So that, it don't make any difference what he ate. It just tells us he ate locusts and eat wild honey. That's what it did. But maybe this is the way. I mean, look what, I want to show you something. You keep Mark chapter 1. Look in Matthew chapter 11 with me. Look what our Lord said about John, his forerunner. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. You know, our Lord had a lot to say about John. And he said here, and John was in prison. He wanted to know what Christ was doing. And it said here in verse 7, Matthew 11. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? Remember I said if you wanted to hear God, you had to go to the wilderness to hear him. You got to go where John was. And what did you go out in the wilderness? Did you go out there to see a reed shaking with the wind? Every wind of doctrine that came along, everybody come along with their opinion and what they said about him, what they felt about him, and all the things. He said, you think he's going to be shaking this way? Think he's going to be shaking that way? You think you can move him around just like you would anybody else? No. Look what else he goes on to say. What did you go out to see? When you went out in the wilderness to see John, did you go out there to see a man clothed in real nice soft raiment? And dressed really, really nice? You got out there and you seen him in that camel's hair? Oh, no, they that wear soft clothing are in king's house. What did you go to see then? A prophet? I'm telling you, he was more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto thee, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now listen to this, what our Lord said. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John, and if you will receive it, this is Elijah or Elias, which was to come. So he said he is Elijah. Elijah to come. He's the one that came. And so whatever Elijah was like, John the Baptist was like. And then look back over here with me in Mark chapter 1. So he described how John the Baptist looked, how he was dressed, and how he was sent before him. Greatest prophet ever. And then he was a preacher. Look what it said in verse 7. And he preached. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He had a message. He was a preacher. He had a message. What was his message? There cometh one. There comes one. There's one coming. And he said, you know what? He's got all the glory. He's got all the power. He's got all the might. He's infinite. He's eternal. You see, he had a high, high view of the Lord Jesus Christ. There comes one mightier than I. And you know what he said? It was so mightier than I, so much glorious, more glorious. And I mean, he is so far above me and beyond me. He has such a high view of Christ. And when you can't have a high view of Christ with having a right view of yourself, look what he said about himself. He coming after me, and I'm not even worthy to get down and unloose the latchet of his shoe. That's how I'm not even worthy to stoop down before him. And I'm not worthy to touch him. I'm not worthy to unloosen the shoe that's on his foot. And you can't have a high view of Christ and not have a low view of yourself. And that's the opposite of today. Men's got high views of themselves and low views of God. But we can't have a high enough view of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't honor him enough. That's what John said. There comes one mightier than I ever was. You all think I'm something. You think I'm some kind of a preacher. You think I've got some power. He said, you wait till he comes. You wait till he comes. And that's what John said. He said, when he comes, he's going to do all the increases. What are you going to do, John? I'm going to go down, 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 down. And ain't that what it is when we get in the presence of Christ? All we can do is go down. Bow, you know, we was talking about that. His name is wonderful. Bow down before him. Worship and adore him. For his name is wonderful. And oh my, John had a message about him. And oh my, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Now that's the first thing. People make fun of that. I read something the other day of people making fun of believers who count themselves as nothing, count themselves as nobody, count themselves as unworthy. Paul says, I am the least of the less of the apostles, but though I be nothing. And I tell you what, when we come into the presence, that's what's so amazing about grace. That's what grace is so amazing, that God would do anything for us at all. And that's what John felt like. He said, oh, listen, I'm not even worthy to get down before him and touch him and take the shoe that's on his foot. Oh, my. And old John, he tell you what. He had a message. He had a broad, you have a proper view of Christ and a high view of Christ, you'll have a real view of yourself. I believe that with all my heart. And then he said in verse 8, I indeed have baptized you with water. Now this is baptism of water. When we talk about baptism of water, it means immersion. It means to be put under it, be immersed absolutely in the water. And what this is baptism is symbolic of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. And let me tell you something. There's people that believe that their sacrament in baptism and their sacrament in taking the bread and the wine. Now, sacrament means that you get grace given. If you get baptized, then grace comes with that baptism. That's not right. There's no grace. The only place where grace abides is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I've baptized a lot of people in this place. Did grace go with that baptism? There's some that I've baptized that I ain't seen in months and years. So evidently something didn't happen, something didn't take. There was no grace given there. Huh? Oh no, and I tell you, you can take wine and eat bread all your life and do it every day. And I tell you what, you'll not get no grace from it. You only get grace from Christ. God give grace in Christ, and he gave it before the foundation of the world. And if anybody gets grace, God's the one's got it, and he's the only one's gonna give it. Ain't that right? And oh my, he had a message. I baptized with water. And oh look, but look what our Lord, what the Lord said about Christ. He said, but he, Christ, the Lord Jesus, the one mightier than I, when he comes, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now John and Luke said he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And all three persons of the Trinity is involved in our salvation. God the Father elected us and chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Salvation's of God the Father. Well, the Son came into this world to redeem us and buy our salvation and satisfy God on our behalf and present us acceptable and holy before God. So the Holy Spirit takes the salvation that God purposed, the salvation that Christ accomplished, and the Holy Spirit comes, and what he does is he saves us and regenerates us and brings us and puts us into the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what baptism of the Holy Ghost is. Just like water is in immersion, the Holy Spirit immerses us into the Lord Jesus Christ's body. Huh? And you know, he has this work to do. And I will look over in John's Gospel, chapter 3. Look in John's Gospel, chapter 3. Let's talk about this a minute. Over in John, chapter 3, talking about the Holy Spirit and his work. He has a work to do. And he's not just, people think he's an influence, that he has no power. He just influences people. No. He has power. He has the same power as the Father, has the same power as the Son. And you can't have salvation without him. You can't understand the word without him. Somebody called me the other day and was talking to me about somebody in his congregation that had been with him for a long time decided that men don't have two natures anymore, just got one nature. And here's the thing about it. If a person's got just one nature, and all he's got is the nature that God gave him in Adam. Ain't that right? And here's the thing about it. If you only got one nature and you say you're a spiritual person, what nature is it with it that you know God? What nature you call on God with? What nature do you pray? What nature do you understand the Bible with? So you can't know God unless the Holy Spirit comes and gives you life and when the Holy Spirit comes, he puts you into the body of Christ. Now look what he said here in John 3. Look here in we're going to go down through these verses and comment on them a little bit. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles except thou beest, that thou doest, except God be with him. Well, our Lord, you know, he was bragging on Christ. And you know what our Lord said to him? He said, Nicodemus, I don't care what you say about me, but I'm going to tell you what has to happen to you. I have to be born again. You can't see the kingdom of God. What he's saying is, as a natural man, down in verse 6, ain't that what he said? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. The flesh can't see. The flesh can't understand. The flesh cannot grasp. But he goes on to say this. Well, how in the world can a man be born again when he's old? Well, there's the key to it right here. Our Lord said unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that water there is not water baptism. That's not water baptism. That's not what he's talking about. And the Holy Spirit has to be the one to regenerate and bring dead sinners to life. And when he says there in verse 5, that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, see how that's capitalized, the Holy Spirit? Born of God, born of the Spirit of God, cannot enter in the kingdom of God. Now that water there is not water baptism. It's not. Paul talked about being washed, the washing of the water by the Word. And that's what the Word does. And our Lord Jesus himself said in John 15 and verse 3, now you are clean. How? Through the Word which I've spoken unto you. The Word itself comes and washes us and cleanses us is what he's talking about. And oh my, look what he goes on to say now. Except thee be born of water. And you know the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And you know what he said here? He said, marvel not, you know, that which is born of the flesh. Oh, listen, it can't do anything. But that which is born of the Spirit, he becomes a spiritual person. He becomes a spiritual man. You all know the verses, you know, I've quoted this so many times. Over in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. And listen to this, by the word of God, the word comes and washes us and regenerates us and does something for us that nothing else can do. You know, the Holy Ghost never, ever operates apart from his word. Never, never, never. Let me give you a little something I saw the other day. The Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word came from Christ. The Word from the Word. And it's the Word that reveals the Word. The Word was made flesh. Huh? And from that Word, he reveals the Word. And that's the Holy Spirit. He's the only way. I read the Bible for years. And even with a Bible that I in front of me, I still preach works. I still preach a personal holiness. I still preach that you could be a righteous person. Now, how in the world did I know those things? I didn't. I knew him by natural man. But when God gave me the Spirit of God and regenerated me and brought me to Christ himself, then I began to understand what the Bible said. Before that, I didn't, you know, if works is all you know, that's all you see. But when God teaches you the gospel and brings you to Christ and regenerates you, and immerses you into the body of Christ and gives you the new birth and gives you a new understanding. You know what? You say, but how in the world did I ever believe anything else? I must have been dumb as a box of rocks. But once he shows it to you, and the only way that happens is by the Holy Ghost using the Word of God, being born again. Not of the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. But incorruptible seed. What seed? The Word of God. How does that Word of God get in you? By the Spirit of God. Oh my. And I tell you, when it talks about being born of the Spirit, Peter called it being begotten of God. And then also, you know, over in 1 John it says, he that's begotten of God loveth him that's begat of God. If you're begotten of God and you know somebody else that God's begotten, you love that person. That's why you can go places that you know, go in fellowship with other believers, go in other congregations, and you just feel right at home. You know why? Because we're all the same. Huh? And oh, we're made partakers. Partakers of a nature, a new nature. What nature? The nature of God himself, divine nature. I'm letting a man say all he wants to, there's one nature. But I tell you what, I never had any problem with my flesh and my nature and my self-righteousness and my self-confidence and my holiness and my works until God saved me, and then I had a problem. I got in a fight. I got in a real fight. And you know who I was fighting? My flesh and the spirit. I mean, I went to fight. I had this awful fight. I mean, I was just whap, whap, whap. Stop thinking that. Whap. Don't say that again. Whap. You know, that's what we do. We just fight. We have this fight going on within ourselves. That's what I preached the other day about repentance. Once you've repented, you never stop. You'll think something, say, oh, God, forgive me. You'll say something, oh, God, forgive me. You'll get up and say, Lord, don't let me be cold today. Don't let my heart be cold. Warm my heart today. Oh, my. And then back over here in John 3:8, I hope you're still there. No, excuse. Yeah, you know, he says there in verse 8, he says, you know, that which is born of the flesh is, it's just flesh. But look what he said, and the Spirit is sovereign. The Holy Spirit is sovereign. Look what he says in verse 8. The wind blows where it will. Where it will. And you hear the sound of the wind blowing. And you hear it. But you can't tell where it comes from. And you don't know where it's going to go when it leaves by you. You don't know where it's going to go. Well, that's the way everyone's born of the Spirit. God comes and does what he wants to. He blows by you. Don't blow by somebody else. But he blows. Now, I want you to look in John 16 with me. Let's look in John 16 a little bit. Talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my. The Spirit's sovereign. The Holy Spirit has to do all the work. That's what he's working out, the salvation in us. And doing for us what Christ promised would happen. Look what he said here in verse 7. John 16:7. Our Lord's talking to his disciples, and he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you, it's profitable for you that I go away. I got to go away. I got to go to the cross and I got to go back to glory. Got to go to the grave. For if I go not away, now look at that capitalized word, comforter, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then this was what happened. This is a missing note in today's preaching, is Holy Ghost conviction. And when he is come, when the Holy Spirit's come, when the comforter's come, you know what he'll do? He'll reprove, he'll convince, he'll convict. And when it says the world, he's talking about the John 3:16 world. It's the world of every tribe, every kindred, every nation, every character, every station in life, every status in life. It's not the whole world. He don't convict the whole world. It's the world of God's elect. And he said he'll convict the world of sin. You know, I tell you what, hardly anybody, preaches about sin anymore. Don't talk about it being a nature. Don't talk about being something you're born with. Don't talk about something that you come from your mother's womb, you come out of there speaking lies. And don't talk about, you know, man being a wicked, depraved, sinful, God-hating, Christ-rejecting sinner. They don't want to hear that. But that's what he said. The first thing he'll do is he'll make you know you're a sinner. He'll make you know you're a sinner. How much sin does he make you know? More than you really want. Enough to make you know you hate it, you despise it, and you don't want to do it. And then look what else he says. And then he'll come and he'll reprove the sin of righteousness. And the sin, because here he said, because you don't believe on me. Why don't you believe on me? What a sinful thing unbelief is. And then he'll reprove the world of righteousness. Why will he reprove the world of righteousness? Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. I'm the only one that's got a righteousness. My righteousness dwells in glory, and the only place you can get it is coming to me. He'll convince you that your righteousness is as a filthy rag. He'll convince you that your righteousness absolutely is worthless and that there's only one righteousness. He'll convince you of the righteousness of Christ. And then look what else he says. And of judgment. Of judgment. Oh my. Of judgment. Oh. And then he goes on to say, oh my. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I mean, this world and everything about it's already been judged. And I tell you what, we'll go into judgment too. And if you've been convinced of sin and the righteousness of Christ, then the judgment's already been for us in Christ. But look what he said. And he goes on to say, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, see, he's a person, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, is come, look what he's going to do for you. He's going to guide you. We have to be guided. We ain't got sense enough to get there. We have to be guided. Where's he guide us to? Into truth. Into truth. Huh? There was a time you didn't know the truth. How'd you get it? He guided you to it. Huh? He guides you to the truth. Once he starts guiding you, he just keeps on guiding you. Look what he says here now. And here's what he says about it. When he comes, he shall not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit will not get up and say, well, listen, I know I've got the Holy Spirit in because I speak in this language, that language, this other thing, and I jerk around and I run the aisles and all that stuff. No, no. And then what it goes on to say, he shall not speak of himself. That's one way you know. And when he come, he'll show you things to come. He'll show you things to come. And here's the thing that the Holy Spirit does. He shall glorify me. He shall glorify me. For he shall take the things that belong to me, and he'll show them unto you. Huh? Oh, he'll show them unto you. And all the things that the Father hath are mine, and he shall take of mine. Take what belongs to me, the glory that belongs to me, the power that belongs to me, the redemption that belongs to me, the Savior. He'll take everything that belongs to me, and he'll show them to you. I think this is the fifth message I've preached out of here, and I tell you what, every one of them points to Christ, every single one of them. Ain't that right? And that's why our Lord says, you know, he said, if a man worships God, he's got to worship in the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and in the truth. And how you can't do that unless the Holy Ghost comes and does that for you. Ain't that right? And that's why he says, the Holy Ghost shall baptize you. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And that means to immerse you. Into the body of Christ, into the Holy, he'll baptize you, immerse you in the Holy Spirit. You all remember when our Lord Jesus Christ, he told them before he went to the cross, after his resurrection, he told them, said, you all go into Jerusalem and you stay right there. You stay right there. And he says, and I'll come and I'll send the Holy Ghost, and then power shall come upon you. And I tell you what power? How did they know that the power of God come upon them? Pentecost. When they got up there and began to preach in the power of God and the Spirit of God, and the only evidence that they had that the Holy Ghost and power was on them is they all spoke with another language. They weren't speaking in unknown tongues. Everybody understood what they were saying. Now the tongues have ceased. There's no reason in the world for anybody to speak in tongues. An unknown tongue. They people talk about unknown tongues. Those fellas knew the tongues that those fellas was preaching. And over there in John, in Acts 10 the other night when I was preaching on it, they knew the fellas that got baptized at Cornelius, and then when they got baptized and the Holy Spirit baptized them, you know what happened? They began speaking tongues. And they said, oh my, God gave them the Holy Spirit like us. All right. The Holy Spirit was a gift. Is given to them born again by the preaching. And tongues was evidence of it, but there's you don't have any evidence of that anymore. You know what the evidence that we're believers? Christ. Christ. I want to show you one other. I'm going to show you a couple more. I hope, I ain't preached long. I put this on so I know how long I'm preaching. Y'all, I know you think I've been preaching a long time, but it says 30 minutes. You say, well, boy, I hope he don't go another 30. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. You know, that's the thing about that. When he talked about being baptized in the Holy Ghost there, and he said you received the Holy Ghost in power after he's come upon you, when he told his apostles to tarry in Jerusalem, that wasn't regeneration, that was baptism, the Holy Spirit baptizing them. And that's how we are today, and that's the way the Holy Spirit was given as the evidence of being born again by the preaching. But look what he said here in 1 Corinthians 1:13. For by one Spirit, see how that's capitalized, are we all. Who are we all? God's elect, God's purchased people, God's chosen people. We were all baptized, immersed into one body. Oh my. Huh? Immersed into what? What body? The body of Christ. How do you get in the body of Christ? You know, the Catholics, they give you a stick of wafer as you say, this is the body of Christ. It's not. I've never seen the body of Christ, but I'll tell you one thing, I'm in the body of Christ right now. And every one of you here, and that's what he says, members, every one of us different members, but every one of us are into the body of Christ. He said, by one Spirit are we all immersed into the body of Christ. Oh my. And here's the thing about it. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, I mean, it don't make any difference. You've all been made to drink into one Spirit. We're all in Christ. And oh my, we're actually one with Him is what this is talking about. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit means. This is the doctrine of baptism by the Holy Spirit. If you're baptized in water, you're immersed. If you're baptized by the Holy Ghost, you're immersed too. Where are you immersed at? Into Christ. Huh? Into Christ. And what He does, we do. Now look with me in Matthew 3. We're going to be all over the Bible today. You know, this is what I loved about preachers when I first started listening to these grace preachers preaching. That's why people bring their Bibles, so they can follow along. They can see for themselves what we're saying. See, we're actually one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually one with Him. And that's what baptism, the doctrine of baptism, it means by the Holy Spirit. Look what He said here in John 3, 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John forbade him, said, oh, no. I need you to baptize me. And you come to me. Our Lord said, now listen, John, you let it happen. This is what's going to happen. Suffer it. Allow it to be so now. Now watch what it says next. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, who is us he's talking about? That it becomes us. Who you reckon he's talking about? He's not talking about himself. though he is, but it becomes us. Who's us? Us! It becomes us. We're so identified with Christ that he says, when it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. So what he's saying is, when I'm baptized, you're baptized. When I fulfill righteousness, you fulfill righteousness. Ain't that good? Ain't that right? Huh? Oh my. If we're so united to Christ, it becomes us, his elect. You know how we get into Christ? God put us in Christ. God the Father put us in Christ. Every member, we're united to Christ. We're put in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit and by God the Father. We're united to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every man in the body of Christ, this is what's called true fellowship. This is really true fellowship. Christ is the firstborn from the dead. But I'll tell you something. There's many, many brethren after he's the firstborn. I'll tell you something about us. Listen. We're so united in Christ, so union with Christ, and though we're all the same, you know, here's why we're all in Christ, all baptized and immersed into the body of Christ. We're members of the body of Christ. We have the same nature, the holy nature of God, made partakers of the divine nature. We all have the same Father. God's our Father. And we all have the same salvation. Huh? You know what that means? Christ is all. Christ is all. And when we're baptized into Christ, let me tell you something. That's our identity. That's our identity. That's our identity to one another. That's how we identify one another. And that's how also our identity before God the Father. Our identity before God, you see, when he looks at Christ, when he looks at me, he has to see his Son. That's how united I am with so far with him. So wonderful with him. Let me show you this in Romans 6. I started out over there. And I'll, Romans 6, look over here with me. You know, it talks about being baptized over here. Romans 6, 3 and 4, look what it says. Know ye not, don't you know this, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now do you think that verse 3 and verse 4 is talking about water baptism? No. It talks about us being baptized into the death of Christ. Buried with Christ in that death. Risen with Christ in his resurrection. That's what that's telling us here. If that's water baptism he's talking about, then everybody that's ever been baptized would be saved. But this is our immersion, our death, and the baptism immersing us into the death of Christ. And Christ into his death. When he died, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, all of his elect died. The result of sin, you know what the result of sin is? Death. In that Christ died, he died unto sin. What? Once. Once. When he died, we died. And my sin actually became his sin. So when he died, I did too. Huh? When he went to the tomb, ain't that what it says? He was buried. We're buried with him by baptism, by his immersion, because we're in his body. We're unto death. And then as Christ was raised from the dead, we was raised from the dead in him. Oh my. He went to the tomb. Every believer did too. When he was raised, so were we. And I'm going to show you in Ephesians 2:5. I hope I'm not wearing you out, but this is so wonderful for me. I don't know. about you all, but these things are such blessings to me. How so identified we're with Christ. Look what it said over here in Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, listen to that, together with Christ, and hath raised us together with Christ. And he sat down in heavenly places. Look what it says. We sat down with him. Huh? Every believer, every one of God's elect, when he died, we died. When he was buried, we was buried. When he was raised, we was raised. When he went up, we went up. When he sat down, we sat down. Ain't that what? That's what I just read to you. Huh? Oh, my. Oh, every one of God's elect was so regarded in Christ that God regards them as he did his son, he does us. That's why he said he's going to conform us to the image of his son. You know what our future is? Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That's our future. That they may behold my glory. That's our future. But you know what our right now is? As he is in this world. As he is in this world, so are we. As he now is, John 4:17. As he now is, so are we in this world. How is he right now? How is he right now? He has no sin. He died to it. In that he is raised, sin has no more dominion over him. And as we was raised with Christ, sin has no dominion over us. As he was buried, because of sin, we was buried with him. And when he was raised, the scripture said we was raised up together with him. When he sat down, we sat down with him in glory. So as he is, so are we right now. What's Christ right now? That's what we are right now. Oh, my. Oh, what a future we got. Oh, and he said over there in Romans, he said, and we'll walk in newness of life. This is newness of life. Ain't this the most wonderful life? It's new life we have. This is newness of life. And every time we hear it, it's newness of life. Oh, this is Spirit working in us. And oh my, we're immersed in Christ, put on Christ, we're baptized into Christ. And oh, we have that fine linen, the righteousness of Christ. When God sees me, all he can see is his blessed, blessed Son. If he ever looked at us outside of his Son, you know what happened? Be no hope. No hope. But all earthly distinctions and all fleshly distinctions are gone. Gone. All of God's blessed people are one in Christ. Oh my. I'm certainly thankful. There's no other way I could get in Christ without somebody putting me there. There's no other way I can understand it without the Holy Spirit of God. No else I could have new life except he gave it to me. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for the truth as it is in Christ our Lord. God bless the gospel to our hearts, minds, and understanding. Meet all of our needs. And do it for Christ's sake. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this gospel of our oneness, our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for it. Blessed be your name. Amen. Amen. 326 in the hymn book. And we'll stand together and sing this. 326. And then you'll be at liberty to go. No, not, that's not the one I want. I want that one that's, I am not skilled to understand what God has willed or what God has planned. Huh? That's the one I want. Huh? 222? 230? How much? 226. Let's do it. God willing.